This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. You can find AMI Audio on your TV. Cogeco customers in Ontario, you guys can find us on channel 596 and Bell channel 49. Visit ami.ca/audio for a list of channel locations in your area. I'm Kelly McDonald, the host of Kelly and Company. Thanks for being with us today with Danielle McLaughlin.
Kelly, just wanted to mention that the book by Stanley Grizzle, who, by the way, got an Order of Canada as well as an Order of Ontario, is called My Name's Not George, The Story of the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porters, Personal Reminiscences of Stanley G. Grizzle. Fascinating story and really an important part of Canadian history. So I'm looking forward to seeing that television show, The Porter, as well.
Yeah.
But right now, we get to speak with our regional content reporter, Ryan Delahanty. Ryan comes to us from Halifax. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, good to be with you, Danielle and Kelly, today.
Lovely hearing your voice again, Ryan. And I understand you've got some very interesting and exciting things to tell us about. Let's start things off today with a demonstration that was held during National Accessibility Week that made a big impact in PEI. Can you tell us what this was all about?
This was one of my favorite things happening for Disability Awareness Week, Accessibility Week, depending on where you are in the country. It has different names at the start of June, but in the lead up to the week, the Prince Edward Island Council of People with Disabilities invited the public to join them for a demonstration to help create awareness on the importance of designated parking spaces. And they really wanted to illustrate the frustration often experienced by people with disabilities when they find someone inappropriately taking up the accessible parking spots they rely on. And so quite a few people gathered in the parking lot outside of the Montague Superstore on the morning of June 3rd to hold a very clever sort of a sit-in protest.
This is my favorite kind of thing, as you probably know, Ryan. I really love when people use clever protests in a peaceful fashion to get their point across. How did the demonstration work? Were there any catchy chants?
Not sure about the chance. I only saw some photos of the event, but the members of the PEI Council of People with Disabilities and the other attendees, they filled in pretty much all of the non-accessible parking spots outside of the superstore and filled them with mobility aids such as wheelchairs and walkers. So all the wheelchairs and walkers were empty, but each one occupying a full parking spot. And each device also sported a sign listing the sorts of tired excuses people tend to use when they're inappropriately taking up an accessible parking spot that they don't need and aren't qualified for. And so the signs had statements like, "I'll just be a minute," or, "I sprained my ankle, so I'm entitled." "The weather is terrible. There were no other spaces." And so they also had members, this was also a nice touch, of the council standing in the other parking spots, and these individuals were holding signs indicating various health conditions such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, and cancer. And this was because, as Marcia Carroll, executive director of the council, told the CBC, they were to represent people who have invisible disabilities, don't use mobility aids, but still need designated parking spots. And these individuals are often challenged every day when they use a designated spot. And so they were drawing attention to inappropriate use, but also that's not something that can often be visually identified, and people can be a bit overbearing in trying to enforce accessible parking spots for people with invisible disabilities who, do deserve to use them, but it's maybe not on, uneducated members or, well-meaning members of the public to try and enforce that. And so the PEI Council had seen this type of demonstration done before in Ireland and spread to other cities in Europe, and they figured they'd give it a try on Prince Edward Island. And the photos of the events were really quite entertaining. As you can see, just a handful of cars that may have been there before they started, and then the majority of spots blocked by these empty mobility devices and the attendees.
I love it. It kind of reminds me of Judy Heumann and the what they did in New York when they blocked intersections to show how inaccessible New York was. And they just had people who used wheelchairs or walkers or other devices just walking slowly back and forth across the intersection, holding up all the traffic. It certainly drew attention. What was the attention and the reaction like in PEI?
They got an incredible reaction online with hundreds of likes and comments on the post showing the demonstration, and well over 1,000 shares, which I would assume is, you know, quite high for them. It's quite high for, you know, most of these sorts of community groups. Yeah. And Carol said it also did create a lot of important conversations during the event in person, with onlookers inquiring about their group, getting into one-on-one chats about the need for designated parking spots, and really getting into some conversations on systemic inequality as well. So it was a great learning opportunity, both for, you know, the public, but also I think it was a good learning opportunity for the PEI Council during Accessibility Week, as when they first shared images of this protest after the fact, some of the users, the members of their group online, had requested that they add image descriptions. And, you know, thankfully, they were, of course, very receptive to that.
Nice.
And, you know, quickly added the description so that people could, you know, find out what was on these signs and get a better description of what the protest was. And the PEI COPD social media person also, you know, thanked them for that input and said that they'll be sure to use those on all of their posts going forward. So always nice to see people, you know, educating one another in a polite, professional way, and see, you know, people get a bit more, you know, thorough and robust in their own accessibility practices.
That's excellent. And, you know, it really energizes a community when you can come together in an activist fashion to say what you need to say. I'm very pleased to have read some of the reports at the time. Excellent work, in my humble opinion.
What I love is none of us want to be preached at, no matter what it is to be explained to. If we can show or experience or take it in at our own way, consume that information, whether it's through social media, whatever it is, Ryan, we notice it more and don't feel so demeaned, like someone saying bad for you to be doing that. We all learn, and we can find in ourselves, oh my, yeah, I do that kind of thing. Oh my goodness. But we ourselves know that and can hopefully make that note to say, yeah, and I'm not going to do that anymore. So I find that helpful.
Yeah. Absolutely. Really sticks when it can be made a little bit fun or creative, or you can, you know, catch people a little bit by surprise. And I find those lessons are a lot more impactful than just giving them, you know, a pamphlet or a bullet point list of why, you know, this is an issue.
Yeah, for sure. So next up, we've got the launch of a website looking to make Newfoundland and Labrador more accessible for those of us with disabilities. What can you tell us about Access YYT? This sounds interesting.
Absolutely. So I'm pretty sure I didn't back check myself, but I believe YYT would be the airport code for St. John's. And so this is a new website that officially launched a couple weeks ago, and it's looking to share information on wheelchair accessible accommodations, shops, restaurants, cafes, bars, events, parks, and other public places in Newfoundland and Labrador. It was put together by Lisa Walters, who is a disability advocate from St. John's, and she'd been sharing her personal experiences navigating around the city and other parts of Newfoundland as a wheelchair user on her own personal social media pages. But she really wanted to better organize all of that information and make it a more effective resource for others to access, providing tips and tools to make her province and even the social media platforms more accessible. And so she received help from Chudworth Technology Solutions, Daniel Barnes, and Mosaic Creative to create a very polished and usable website, and has really expanded beyond what she'd first started on the Access YYT Facebook page.
Oh, superb. So how do people access the site, and what can they expect to find on there?
So the website is accessyyt.ca. Everything's quite nicely categorized, easily findable on the new site. They have categories like accessibility advice, accessible travel, entertainment, events, shops, hotels, the great outdoors, etc. And some recent posts include a social media accessibility guide, some tips and tricks on how to create accessible events, reviews of some parks, hotels, and other accessible local businesses. So really highlighting the places that are getting it right that people might not know, you know, could provide them an accessible night out. I also really enjoyed her open letter to hospitality and tourism operators in the province about how to better serve disabled tourists by making trip planning easier and more reliable for them, taking out a lot of the guesswork and some of the sort of onerous research that sometimes has to happen when you don't have resources like this that really highlight what's working and the areas that you may want to avoid if you have any accessibility concerns. And it really is still a huge challenge in Newfoundland and Labrador. So these resources are very useful to help steer people to the most accessible locations and activities available to wheelchair users and other folks with disabilities. So accessyyt.ca is the website. You can also find them on social media at accessyyt on Instagram or facebook.com/accessyyt. And you can contact them directly, accessyyt@gmail.com for emails.
We know so many people, Ryan, that have had this issue. You know, you show up, hey, you're ready to move your, you know, be independent, and something like an out-of-service elevator stands in your way.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, sometimes those are inevitable that things will break down, but sometimes certain businesses you feel like they may not be in a big hurry to fix it. That elevator's been broken for 3 years now.
Exactly.
So it's definitely good to have that capacity to flag things, you know, pretty much in real time and let people know, you know, what the actual status on the ground is.
Yeah. Well, and it puts pressure on get it fixed, whether somebody sends a letter in or an email saying, hey, I understand your elevator's broken. Every time I go to fly in there, I'm planning some trips to come there, but every time it's still broke. What's going on? And I think that is at least what has to happen, because as you said, you know, the 2-3 years, these things will wait because it doesn't hit the top of the priority list. So excellent stuff there, Ryan. Thank you.
Yeah, I remember going to, you know, an accessible washroom. You know, my partner at the time is a wheelchair user. And so we were at this restaurant. They have an accessible washroom. Maybe somebody hadn't used it in a while. I mean, it was the appropriate size. The door was fine. But that's where they had just dumped all of their excess cleaning supplies. And so it was no longer accessible when it was full of boxes. So those things do definitely come up.
Dear, oh, dear. Well, it's really nice to speak with you again today, Ryan. I hope that you have a lovely day like we're having today.
Absolutely. It's beautiful out, so I'll probably get to enjoy that. And always great joining you guys on Kelly & Company.
Thank you. Our content development specialists join us Wednesdays and Fridays on Kelly & Company.
And coming up next hour, our accessible gaming, we get into that interesting way to play golf. We'll get into that. Bill Shackleton, he's up next for the Wednesday edition of The Buzz, and Mary Mammoliti joins us as well, all in Hour 2 on Kelly & Company. You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.